Hello friends, how are you going? We are back for the wrestling podcast. This is our Australia special. Super excited to be exploring an entirely new country, a fresh landscape of wrestling. Australian pro wrestling is back, and thus so are we. The wrestling podcast, that's wrestling without the E, WRISTLING. And of course, you got me, Liam, this guy, Gareth.
Hey.
And you, my friends, are on the Inside the Ropes podcast network. Thank you so much for your time. You know the deal by now. It's all the graps without the E, but we're not anti-E, we're simply pro wrestling. So let's just jump straight into it. We've got big things going on today, and Gareth, this is an episode near and dear to your heart because, of course, you spent an awful long time in Australia.
I did. I've bounced back and forth for a long time, and I lived out there for a year, did my young person's working holiday visa, living in Ballarat, just outside Melbourne.
Melbourne City Wrestling was your local promotion, all right?
Yes, that's right. So, you know, once a month I'd make the pilgrimage down to Melbourne, to Essendon, to the Ukrainian Hall, or to the Thornbury Theatre, and just enjoy a top night, a top-notch night of graps.
Give me a couple of examples, mate. Who did you see down there?
Back when I was attending, we had Jonah Rock, who's now known as Bronson Reed. He was part of it. But yeah, I saw him in a kick-ass cage match, and Mr. Juicy was all over the place, and, you know, Robbie Eagles, you had Adam Brooks, we talk about today, Slex. And then one of the first matches I saw as part of MCW was Kazuchika Okada coming over to Australia and wrestling Slex, which was
the Rainmaker, the Rainmaker himself. And, you know, I've been the beneficiary of that match because you very kindly brought back some Okada dollars, which are worth their weight in gold.
Absolutely. And I've still got a few spare excess Okada dollary dues knocking around. So I have to, we'll have to run a little competition and give the rest of them away.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Okay, mate. So give us a little bit of a rundown on MCW, if you will, for anybody that hasn't heard of them before.
So MCW, Melbourne City Wrestling, they've been knocking around for about 11 years now. They formed in 2010. They run their big shows, like I said, out of the Thornbury Theatre, which is an absolutely gorgeous venue, which you will see in, if you watch MCW Homecoming, you'll see how nice the venue is. And they run their kind of smaller shows out of the Ukrainian Hall in Essendon, which has a much more like traditional kind of indie feel to it. It's just kind of a little social club type feel. Which kind of takes me back to going to see random indie shots in like Risca Social Club in the middle of Wales and seeing sort of the up and coming UK indie scene type thing.
Those were the days.
I always really enjoyed going to see MCW. They're probably the biggest indie promotion in Australia. They do have a super indie that runs when the world is open called, I believe, World Series of Wrestling, which is mostly imports and then a few of the top Australian names scattered through as well. But, you know, I wouldn't really consider that like a quote-unquote Australian promotion in the sense that so much of it is imports. MCW are probably like the highest caliber of Australian wrestling out there.
Yeah.
Basically, anybody who's anybody that has come out of the Australian wrestling scene in the last 10 years has 100% gone through MCW.
And there is a bit of a link up with New Japan, as you alluded to earlier.
Yes, you know, so you've had Fale has pretty heavily involved there in the past, brought in Okada, he wrestled on some of their shows, and off the back of the success of Okada coming in and Fale being a part of MCW, New Japan ended up running a couple of shows in Melbourne, proper full-on New Japan shows as well, one of which I was lucky enough to attend whilst I was living out there.
That's very cool. And it's such an exciting scene, isn't it? Because it feels a bit like where the UK scene was, you know, a couple of years back, where it's kind of bubbling and just starting to boil over, or at least it was prior to the pandemic. And I'm sure it will quickly get there again. You know, the sort of wrestlers that were coming out of that, we've seen a lot of them come over here to the UK, but they're spread far and wide. You know, Slex and Adam Brooks, who are in the main event of Homecoming, are both signed with Ring of Honor. You've got wrestlers that have all made it to WWE. There's even an Australian wrestler in AAA, believe it or not. It's clearly a melting pot of talent, and I think that's why it's quite so exciting to start, and this is the start of covering wrestling in Australia, because there's just a huge amount down there. So really looking forward to getting into that. And of course,
even as we record, there's a big show taking place in Australia for another one of the promotions right there. You know, we've just seen the re-emergence of Aussie Open this morning.
Indeed. Yep, big news down there, really excited about that. And, you know, it doesn't get any bigger than chatting with the MCW champion Adam Brooks. That's what we're going to jump to right now. Had a wonderful conversation with Adam. This was pre-homecoming, but just a great talk about his journey, about the scene, and about his aspirations, and about Ring of Honor as well. So put your feet up, guys. Grab a cup of tea. Do yourselves a Tim Tam Slam, and we will see you in a bit. We move. And here we go. So we are here with the MCW World Champion, Adam Brooks. Welcome, sir. Thank you very much for joining us.
Fellas, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. It's Australia Day here, and we're going to talk about some Australian wrestling. So I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Yeah, me too. Big time. All right. So, Gav, do you want to kick us off? Because you of course, were an Australian resident for a short while. So I feel like this one's close to your heart.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Adam, how is it feeling to be back wrestling again after the pandemic-induced layoff? And how long were you off for in the end?
It's awesome. I'm very excited to be back at MCW. But see, I was lucky in regards to this whole pandemic situation because I was living in Melbourne, and Melbourne got really bad. They were locked down for like 7 months or something. Things opened up a little bit for like 2 weeks. But then as soon as they shut stuff down again after those 2 weeks, I was like, right, I'm out of here. So I packed up my car and I drove to South Australia, did the 2 week quarantine, and I've been based here ever since. Because over here, I can still go to the gym. I can still go to, you know, perform and wrestle. So I was lucky that I only had 5 months away from the ring, whereas everyone else back in Melbourne, this upcoming MCW show is going to be their first match in like, I think like 10, 11 months, you know? So yeah, I just tried to look at everything positively because obviously I couldn't travel overseas. I didn't want to stay in Melbourne because things had gotten pretty bad there. So I just packed up and went to a different state.
Yeah, it sounds like the smart thing to do, yeah, to be honest, man, with you. So prior to the lockdown, it felt like the Australian wrestling scene was heating up in a big way, you know, with yourself being a big part of that. What do you attribute that to, if anything?
Obviously, the talent is a big part of that. And I just think it was the right time. Obviously, there's a lot of guys and girls that have been picked up by bigger places, you know, like WWE and stuff at the moment. And then Will Ospreay came down in 2017 and he wrestled myself and Robbie Eagles. And that's kind of when things on like an independent level sort of turned. People were looking at, you know, these guys in Australia because everyone knew who Will Ospreay was. But then Will Ospreay got in the ring with these two unknowns at the time, and then next minute, you know, those two unknowns are showing up at like PWG and stuff. So, you know, a little bit of a rumbling started around that point, but it started probably a little bit earlier than that as well. You know, like you had Tennille get picked up by WWE, Buddy Murphy ended up going to WWE, and then just more and more stuff since then. You know, we had Shane and Mikey, they were doing their thing in Japan. So it's just, yeah, it's good to see it. Like, it's been cool to be a part of it and see this growth. Mm.
It's been really exciting to sort of watch. So I basically rocked up in Melbourne, I think just as Will Ospreay did, and started attending shows when he was wrestling like with yourself and Robbie Eagles. And so having not been exposed to either of you before and seeing you have these incredible matches with Ospreay, I was just like, well, these guys are obviously huge stars. I just think because you were going toe-to-toe with someone who I perceived as like a big deal, it was just like, oh, these guys are huge deals here then in Australia, obviously. Which and just really kickstarted those MCW Intercommonwealth title matches.
There we go.
That were just so interesting, you know, just so exciting to watch.
Yep.
It really kind of, because I'd flown out thinking, like, because I was a regular, Liam and I were regular attendees of Progress shows. We'd go to the ballroom every month. And I was just really worried about flying out to Australia and just like, the quality of the wrestling. Oh, it's going to be a bummer being out here for a year and not having access to all that great wrestling. And then at my first MCW show, it just kind of blew those misconceptions out the water straight away.
Good, man. I'm glad that's how you walked away looking at it.
No. Yeah, absolutely.
That's positive.
I assume it must have been the same though for wrestling fans in Australia that would say attend an MCW show or like a PWA show and were like, oh, I had no idea wrestling here was so good. You know, I didn't realize we had such great stuff on our doorstep.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think that's been the case for years. Just people haven't known about it, you know, and it's taken a while. Things are still growing. Things are always going to still be growing. But yeah, it's been great to be a part of it, you know, and witness it, and I guess be a part of helping with that growth, you know.
Definitely.
It's such a shame that for the longest time, probably the most well-known Australian wrestler was Nathan Jones.
I mean, he's tall. He looks awesome. But
yeah,
he does. Yeah.
But you know, thankfully, more people that have gone there have sort of turned that around, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I think in the UK we've been big beneficiaries of the Australian scene. You know, we've had Kyle Fletcher, Mark Davis, we've had Charlie Evans, had yourself, you know, and guys from New Zealand as well. So we've done really well out of wrestlers from that portion of the world coming over here and doing good stuff. Is the move to England, it feels like a fairly natural one. It seems like one that a lot of Australian wrestlers take. Is there a reason for that?
I think guys here, they just saw what was happening over there. And I guess they just wanted to go over there and have a crack, really. Mm. I was at a point where I didn't really want to go there, but I was like, look, I've done what I can here for the moment, you know? And, you know, I had Will saying, you know, just come over, see how you go. I didn't have anything else going on. So I was just like, all right, I might as well, you know? So yeah, I went over there for a couple of months and it was a good experience. It was a good learning curve, you know?
Mm.
From my perspective, it seems like if you come from Australia to the UK and do a tour here for say 6 months or whatever, you can be wrestling 3 or 4 times a week. Whereas in Australia, there just isn't maybe enough promotions locally to kind of be wrestling as much as that. Like you'd probably have to be at the absolute top tier to be getting flown out to Perth, to Sydney, to Melbourne, to kind of be wrestling sort of multiple times a month. So you get this opportunity to come over here and wrestle, you know, multiple times a week. Do you think that is maybe one of the draws of coming here?
Yep. Absolutely. Like, if you're, I guess, like a top guy here, I say that with the quote gimmick.
Inverted commas, yeah.
You know, you'd be lucky to wrestle twice a week. Like, really.
Gosh.
You may wrestle once every weekend, once every 3 times a month, 4 times a month. But yeah, the most you're going to wrestle like in 1 week, you might be lucky to do like a Friday, Saturday show. I hope things get to a point here where we're able to work, you know, 3-4 times a week. That'd be cool.
Mm.
I don't know if or when it will happen, but I really do hope it does. I guess it's just another like time will tell type situation.
How difficult is that when you're sort of a wrestler on the come up, you know, and you're still sort of learning your trade? To have that kind of gap between shows, does that make? I would assume that makes it a bit more challenging to gain experience and to progress in the way you might like to.
It really depends on if you really want to go out there and get it. When I first started, I was driving 8 hours all the way to here to Adelaide for no money. No, you know, my flights weren't paid for. I didn't even get petrol money at first. I didn't even get given a hotel or anything. Just saw you hang out on this couch, drive all the way here. We'll let you wrestle. You know, I was doing that.
Gosh,
wow. I was doing that once a month for about maybe 3 years before, you know, I got a bit of petrol money, you know. you just, if you want it bad enough, you'll go get it. You know, there are places here where you can wrestle maybe like once a week on like a student show, you know?
Hmm.
But yeah, I try to say to a lot of the young kids coming up, they'll ask me like, how do I get booked more? How do I get more opportunities? I said, you got to reach out to promoters for one, and you've got to get yourself there for one. You can't just expect dudes to be flying you all over the joint and putting you up in all these hotels and stuff. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I suppose it's a bit of a pay to play initially. And then once you've made it, or once you start making an impression, you get a bit of traction and the ball starts rolling from there.
Yeah. I guess that's paying the dues in a way, yeah. You know? Mm. I tell all these young kids as well, like, drive as much as you can to places and get used to sitting in a car for hours. Like, before this pandemic, I would have Buddy Murphy ring me randomly out of nowhere at some awkward time. Oh, you know, what are you doing, man? Oh, driving to the next town after a live event or something. Oh, yeah, where are you going? Oh, I don't know, North Carolina. How far is that? 3 hours. You know, he's still doing that stuff at that level. So you may as well get used to it when you're young.
Yeah, that's really good advice, actually. Yeah. Practical advice. You know,
get good at driving.
The last time I was over in America, I think I was on the road like for 4 days, Thursday through Sunday. And my last show on that Sunday afternoon was in North Carolina. And then I had to get back to Florida. And I was like to the promoter, oh, you know, I don't have any flight details yet or anything, or a hotel, you know, what's up? He goes, oh, no, I'm chucking in the car with these dudes. They're all going back to Florida too. And I'm like, oh, okay. How long's that? Goes, oh, 8 hours. I go, oh. All right, well, look, lucky I did that drive for years when I came to South Australia, like, whatever. So you just got to do those things, man, you know?
Yeah, no, fair enough. You mentioned earlier about the amount of people that have been picked up in recent times from the Australian scene. Without wishing to advertise to any of those companies now, I mean, who are some of the people that new fans should be looking out for on the Australian scene?
I certainly think that they should be looking at a young tag team in MCW, actually. They're the current MCW tag team champs, and they were on the last ROH UK tour.
Ah.
And they killed it. I was a little bit nervous for them, but I tuned in and I watched it, and I was super proud of them. Like, they killed it. So that is Nick Berry and Mitch Waterman. They're known as the Brat Pack. I would love
them. They're so good.
I would love to see them get another shot at ROH, especially, you know, with myself there. It'd be so much fun just to have them in the locker room and to travel with them, you know. There's a young kid here called Royce Chambers.
Yeah.
He's been doing some real good stuff. Man, who else we got here? There's a kid in Sydney, actually, Matty Wahlberg. He's so good. His promos are just fantastic. His in-ring talent is so good. So there are a few guys, just to name a few. I'm sure there's more, but, you know, off the top of my head, it'd be those.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man.
We spoke to Takesta from DDT previously, and he mentioned scouting Royce to come over for them.
Oh, yeah, wicked.
So he was also very complimentary.
Yeah, no, he's a good kid.
You had been due to debut for ROH at their 18th anniversary show back in March last year.
Yep.
Obviously, that didn't happen, and you were supposed to be facing your opponent at MCW Homecoming Slex.
Yep.
So, you know, it's kind of symmetry there. So what's your current status with Ring of Honor?
It's just a situation of whenever we can travel, we'll be able to get there. You know, it's, yeah, it sucks, man. It's just bad timing.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, it's out of my hands. It's out of our control. They've said, don't stress, don't worry, everything's cool.
Just, yeah.
When you can travel, that's when you'll be able to travel, you know? So,
that's good.
Perfect. That's good. That's kind of what you want to hear, isn't it? That's like best case scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear a lot of reports, man, of how good they've been during this period of time, and, you know, how they've looked after people.
Yeah, dude, they've been awesome. So, yeah, I just want to get there and meet everyone and just start that next chapter of my career, you know.
That's so exciting. Were you a fan of ROH growing up?
Yes, I was. Obviously, growing up, you watch the wrestling that you see on the TV and all of that. But then as you get more and more obsessed with wrestling, you find out that there's all these alternatives, you know, like TNA at the time and then ROH. I was hearing like this buzz about this dude called CM Punk, and I was like, who?
Yes.
Who in the world is this? And then like obviously you search it and you go, okay, so he wrestles at this place called ROH. And then I would watch those old those video wire little recap things.
Mm-hmm.
I was blown away by it. I was like, what in the world is this? Like this is sick. And then in 2013, actually, I traveled all the way to Philadelphia, and I took part in the tryout seminar camp one weekend.
Oh, wow.
So cool.
So it's just sort of ironic how everything's worked out, you know, because for so many years it was like, man, like, you know, everyone's going here. Oh, man, you know, I feel I should go there. But then this opportunity come up. And then you look back on things. Okay, I went and did this seminar camp with them in 2013. Oh, I got to wrestle Jay Lethal on an ROH show in Edinburgh in 2018. It's like, oh, okay, no, maybe this is where I'm supposed to be. So, yeah, like this is where I want to be. It's just cool how things have sort of worked out, you know?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
That is nice. That's a nice story, actually.
The way I look at it is like there's so many dudes over in WWE, you know, which is fine. But then there's three of us elsewhere taking a different journey with ROH. I think that's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
Like we talk about it sort of quite a lot and just how it feels like people are being signed just to stop them from maybe going elsewhere, they're being warehoused, you know, you're not going to get to do your best work there.
Well, I mean, yeah, like you'll see certain people, I don't know, work a match on like an AEW or something. Next minute, boom, they're grouped up by like WWE.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, but hey, look, if dudes are making coin, they're getting opportunities, whatever, so be it. All that matters.
Absolutely. Like,
I just want to be happy and enjoy what I'm doing. So
it really sounds like your sort of fandom took precisely the same route that Liam and Mines did, starting with WWE and just being so obsessed with wrestling. You're like, oh, there has to be more out there, and finding TNA, finding ROH.
Yeah.
And it's just got such a pedigree. I think all young wrestling fans do. They want to be wrestlers when they grow up, and we're always like, ROH is the place where we'd want to wrestle. So, yeah, it must be sort of so exciting for yourself. So any matches from ROH history that really sort of stood out to you? Any that you'd sort of recommend people hunt out to watch?
So, obviously, Punk and Joe.
Oh, yes.
They had that sick trilogy. But the first one that I saw from that trilogy was their second match. I think I was just researching, and it was like, man, Punk and Joe, they wrestled for an hour. And I was like, an hour? How are they going to wrestle for an hour? So I tracked the match down, and for that hour, my eyes were just glued on it. Like, I was so invested in what those dudes did. It was awesome. Another one that I thought was really cool was Brian and Nigel's last match before that.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, I like when people are leaving, but they still go out there and give 100%. They don't half-ass it. Like, I think that's what pro wrestling is, you know? Like, when Buddy Murphy left to go to WWE, like, I was his last match. And I was very young at the time, so he's putting this match together. And I remember saying to him, I'm like, you sure you want to do this? You sure you want to do this? Like, you can't be getting hurt, man. He's like, no, it's cool, it's cool. And he went out there and he gave 100%. The same with Jonah, what is Bronson Reed?
Yeah, I can never remember his WWE name either. He's always Jonah Rock.
He's always Jonah to me. You know, I think I had his, like, second last match in Australia. And same situation, man. He just went out there and gave it 100%.
That's really cool.
You know, same with Slex. I mean, we thought he was leaving back in January a year ago. Hmm. We went out there. I mean, I knew that it wasn't going to be our last match because I just started sort of talking with ROH as well. So I was like, this will happen again. But same situation, just went out there and killed it. So, I mean, those two ROH matches, they're just two off the top of my head. But there's certainly heaps more.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's a great two. I think that Punk Joe one always sticks in my mind as well. Particularly, I remember Punk just forever going back to the headlock. I think that was sort of the story of the match. And it was, you know, if you're used to watching sort of slightly more high impact stuff or high flying stuff, yeah, this was just fascinating because it was really compelling and it was just a headlock and, you know, yeah, brilliant stuff.
Just that whole Joe title reign where you were just like, who the hell is going to beat him?
Yeah.
Like, you just thought nobody can do it. And then I really liked that they subverted expectations in their third match.
Yeah.
Where it had no time limit. Obviously, the fans are going, oh, God, you know, like, Punk has done 90-minute matches in the past. How long is this one going to go? And it's over in under half an hour.
Yeah, that's good stuff. It's clever.
One thing that just occurred to me, talking about these sort of matches and old-school ROH, I think it's really great how, in the past, they've imported rivalries from other companies. So you think, like, Matt Sydal and Delirious, you had CM Punk and Colt Cabana, like these people that work really well together. And it feels somewhat like that's what the intention was for yourself. They're importing you and Slex.
I
think there's definitely a parallel to be drawn there.
That's a very good point, man. I mean, it's sort of similar to like Hardy's and the Bucks. Like they were doing some good stuff on the indies and then they ended up doing it at ROH. That's a good point. That's a good little pickup there, man. That's good.
See, I just think that's just like one of the nice things about them, you know, having that view of their history,
mm-hmm.
that they've gone, right, there's these people that have gone up and down the road together, battling, you know, matches all around the place. Let's put it in front of our audience because we know it's going to knock people's socks off. And I think
it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. This is another, I think this is another prime example of that.
Yep. No, absolutely, man.
So who's on your wish list when you do get to Ring of Honor? Obviously, they've got a pretty stacked roster. They got a New Japan link up. Who are you looking to get in there with?
I would love to get in there with Dragon Lee again.
Crikey.
We briefly got to wrestle in like a multi-man match in Mexico. So I'd like to do some single stuff with him. I'd like to get in there with Taven. I like to... You know, mm-hmm. Taven is a big part of why I'm in ROH.
That's interesting.
He's like just such a cool dude, man. Like, again, we were in like a multi-man thing in Mexico and we just got along so well. And then we got out there, we interacted a little bit. And then, dude, as soon as we got back to the locker room, he sits down before he starts taking his gear off or anything. He goes, "Hey man, you signed anywhere?" I go, "Nah." He goes, "Okay, I've just reached out to the ROH office. I think you'd be great there." And I was,
"Oh wow!"
I was like, "Whoa! Like, thank you so much, dude. Like, you didn't have to do that." He's like, "No, I think you'd be really good there." I was like, "Oh well, sweet. Thank you, thank you so much." Like, so I'd like to get in there with him. Brian Johnston talks a lot. And I'd like to get in there and just kick him in the face just to shut him up.
Yeah, he's really found his voice in this sort of post-pandemic era, hasn't he? You can't seem to shut him up.
Yeah. I think me and Flip Gordon could do some really cool stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
And Jay Lethal, get in there with him again. That was awesome, getting in there with him, 3 years ago now. Dude, there's so many talented guys there. I'd love to just get in there with all of them at one point, you know?
Good. I'm looking forward to that big time.
So you've managed to do a lot of traveling via Rear Wrestling. You've been to Mexico, obviously, the UK,
yeah.
the US. Italy, I believe, as well. Yeah, you've wrestled in.
Yeah. I was waiting for that. I'm like, I wonder if they know I've been to bloody Italy.
we do our research.
Yeah, that was an interesting experience. I've told this story before, but yeah, that night I had a block of chocolate and a Diet Coke for dinner.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't as glamorous as I thought it would be. It's like, sweet, yeah. I'm going to Milan, Italy. I'm going to be able to wrestle. Then afterwards, I might go and experience a nice Italian spaghetti and some pizza, something like that. Nah, man. I had a block of chocolate and a Diet Coke out of a vending machine.
Oh, no. That's the saddest thing, to go all that way.
Yeah. And then, you know, we got a little bit screwed over in regards to our hotel. So Ospreay forked out for a hotel, a four-person room, and he crammed seven of us in there. So.
Oh, wow. Crikey.
Yes.
That's about a classic wrestling road story as you get, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Particularly with regards to Italy, the amount of times, you know, it sounds like it goes a little bit awry over there. I'm not quite sure what's going on.
Dude, I was so excited too, you know? Like, I want to go see the cool, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Like, I wanted to see all that. Nah.
No such luck.
Hey, the vending machine.
The crowd was awesome. The crowd was super respectful. They were super into it. So, I mean, that was a positive of that experience.
You were also out for WrestleMania weekend in 2018 in New Orleans.
Oh,
so that's
my favorite place ever. New
that's
Orleans.
My favorite place in the world.
Oh, my Lord.
Tell me about your experience in New Orleans. I have to know.
So Bourbon Street is just absolutely mental.
Isn't it wild?
That was just that was something. I remember I wasn't partying or anything yet because I still had I had bookings. I was like, once all my bookings are done, I'll then enjoy, you know, some grog and just relax. But I remember I went out for dinner once with the one of the guys that helps run MCW and Buddy Murphy. And Buddy had just started getting onto 205. So he was starting to get a bit of, you know, TV time. And we're strolling up along Bourbon Street and then just someone randomly goes, Brooksy. And I was like, what in the world? So like I was getting recognized by like, you know, some indie fans. And like Murphy's standing there going, what in the world? Like, because he, you know, I'm not wrestling on television or anything. Yet people are like noticing me, yet, you know, he's on the network at that point. Mm-hmm. And like people weren't really noticing him at first. Obviously, as we started going, like more people were noticing him and stuff. But yeah, it threw me off. That's what's going to happen when you have wrestling fans from all over the world in the one place, you know?
I just feel like New Orleans is the absolute best city for that stuff as well, because it's all so centralized. Everybody is just going to Bourbon Street and partying, all the wrestling fans, all the wrestlers.
It was like another world. I remember just walking along, I look over at some pizza shop, and then just Mark Henry's just sitting in this pizza shop eating a pizza. And I'm like, what is going on here?
It's so surreal. It's so surreal.
You know, like, It was a great experience. It was a lot of fun. Once the wrestling was done, it was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, was there any particularly fond memories of the city post Mania weekend?
So, we were having a few pre-drinks at our hotel before we have a night on Bourbon Street, and we see this fake Donald Trump dressed up. Just walking around the hotel, he's putting on this accent, and I said to him, oh dude, can you please, you know, let me film you saying that I'm fired. So he, you know, he does this Adam Brooks, you're fired, you know, like. And then later on that night we see the fake Donald Trump just going along Bourbon Street, and all these people are abusing him from the balconies and stuff. And he's looking up, you know, I can't hear what you're saying. I love the like, and then someone dressed up as a fake Bret Hart just randomly grab this fake Donald and put him in a sharpshooter in the middle of
incredible.
And fake Donald is working it, and he's tapping to the sharpshooter and everything. It was so funny, dude.
Wonderful. Just,
I love New Orleans. So much fun.
That makes me so happy. Like, just other than Melbourne, it's like my absolute favorite city in the world.
Yeah, dude.
Right, I suppose we should probably talk about Melbourne City Wrestling, particularly with homecoming so close now. So for fans that haven't seen MCW, and I'm one of them actually, so this is going to be my first show, how would you describe it?
I would describe it as the premier promotion in Australia, really. I mean, every person that is signed at any major promotion have come through Melbourne City Wrestling. So they've been going since 2010. I've been there from the very start when I was a 19-year-old kid. You know, I've been there from the start. So it's been so cool to just see it grow. Yeah, unfortunately we've had a year off, but I know that everyone's super excited to just get back into the swing of things and just really kill it. Just knock it out of the park with homecoming on February 6th.
It's going to be so exciting to sort of be back in the arena there and with all those Melbourne fans that have been wrestling starved for a year. Imagine you're going to blow the roof off the place.
I hope so. I mean, that's the plan. I was supposed to have this, you know, I won the championship finally. I was meant to have this great run with it. You know, I was supposed to take it overseas. I had title defenses against... TJ Perkins was one of them. You know, that was all lined up, ready to go. And then, yeah, the world just kind of went on pause and went crazy.
It's remarkable how many people were in that same boat. Because if you think sort of, I suppose Tetsuya Naito is probably the best example. You know, he won the bout at Wrestle Kingdom and then wasn't able to do anything with it really, you know, right up until June or so, and you know, it really curtailed what probably would have been quite an exciting run or what have you. But it's amazing that it's getting back on track. I wanted to ask you about this match with Slex. I've seen a few bits and bobs online. It feels somewhat heated between you two. How did this one come about?
See, I don't know, man. The last time we wrestled in January, it was very respectful. You know, me and Slexy, I mean, I thought we were good mates out of the ring. And then we did that podcast together and he was just, I think the easiest way to put it is he was just a bit of a dick. I don't know whether it's jealousy because he's not the champ. I don't know why he should be jealous because he's extremely talented. You can't take that away from him. Maybe he was just being a dick to bait me into this match. I mean, that's fine. I don't care. Like, I'll still be walking out the champ. Like, it's pretty simple, really. But yeah, it sort of threw me off a bit the way he was acting, but it is what it is, man, you know.
And so the match you guys have got lined up is not just any old match, it's a three stages of hell match, which is so rare. I mean, is there a particular reason why we've gone for three stages of hell? Is this something you wanted specifically?
Well, see, Slexy's been around since like 2005, I believe. And I came into the scene here in 2010. The very first time we wrestled was in 2013, and he beat me. Then a year later, we wrestled again, and I beat him. And just over the years, it's just been very back and forth. I've beat him. He's beat me. We're just, like, things have just been so parallel between us. And then when he said that he could beat me in any sort of match, I just thought, well, why don't you try beat me three times? You know, let's up the ante. Let's have three matches and we'll see who really is the best and who can walk away with the most wins to really show who's going to be the best, which will be me. Like, I'll beat him. Like, I'm younger. He does have the experience, but look, I'm younger. I'm faster. So we'll just see what happens. You can watch me beat him on mcwondemand.com on the Monday, February 8th.
So what we've got is the first fall is a standard fall. The second fall is a Falls Count Anywhere match. And if it goes to a third fall, it's a ladder match. Is there any one of those three that you feel you have a particular advantage in, or is this just clean sweep across the board? There's there's no chance he's getting anywhere near you.
It's hard to say, dude. I mean, we've wrestled normal matches before, and it's very back and forth. We've never done anything, you know, weapon related in regards to like Falls Count Anywhere. I've won ladder matches. I'm pretty sure he actually beat Robbie Eagles in a ladder match for the Intercommonwealth Championship years ago. So again, it's just that parallel path that we're both on. If I have to say that I have an advantage in any of those matches, maybe the ladder match. I mean, I grew up idolizing all those Hardys, Dudleys, Edge and Christian. Like I was mesmerized by that. That's one of the reasons why I became a wrestler, because I first saw that. So, I mean, maybe I've got the advantage in the ladder match, but maybe the speed, because I can climb a ladder quicker. I mean, it depends how beat up I am, really.
Nobody climbs the ladder quickly. We've seen enough of these now.
I really wish we could be in the ballroom for this one. I think with just all the amazing spaces within the venue as well, in that Anywhere Fall part of the match, I think that there's going to be some interesting stuff going down, I'm certain.
Well, we'll see what happens. There's been certain things I've been eyeing off for years, but I've never had an opportunity to sort of do much with it. So we'll see what happens, man.
Can't wait. Okay.
Take it down on out into the high street.
Hell yes.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. We are still sort of in the COVID era, so
yeah,
we'll see how we go.
So last question for you. Moving forward, what are your goals for the future? Short term, medium term, long term?
I think short term is to really represent Melbourne City Wrestling as its world champion. Another short term goal would be to travel. You know, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
That'd be nice, you know. 10 years of hard work, finally getting signed somewhere, and then you can't travel. So that'd be a short-term goal. But then long-term, I want to be one of the most well-known Australian wrestlers not in WWE. You know, I don't have that huge platform of like a WWE, which is fine. Let me take my own path to make a name for myself, you know. And I want that to be with ROH. You know, I'd love to hold gold at ROH. That'd be like a massive dream. You know, people say dream, but it's now, it can be a reality, really. So yeah, just make a name for myself in ROH, hold some championships there, and just really be a name from Australia that's not in like a WWE or something.
Great stuff. Well, I think it's nailed on, mate, to be honest with you. It's a matter of time. So, Adam Brooks, you are indeed a legend. Thank you very much for joining us on the show. And
any plugs?
Yes, good man.
Oh, yeah, we should probably plug, because I had my accounts hacked recently, which sucked.
Oh, no.
Dude, I woke up.
Let's get that follow account.
Man, I woke up one morning and my Instagram was just all weird. Like, I blocked all these people and I was like, what? And then I looked at my name and it was completely changed. And I was like, uh-oh. Tried to log out, log back in, couldn't do it. It was just boom.
Yikes.
Then the next day, my Twitter got done as well. Same situation.
Oh,
I mean, Twitter's fine. Twitter's a toxic place anyway. I cannot stand Twitter. But the Instagram one, that hurt a bit. You know, there was 10 memories on there. So it is what it is. But yeah, my Twitter and my Instagram, it is the Adam Brooksy. So yeah, all wrestling related stuff will be on there, fellas. So please, let's get those followers back up again and build those accounts.
You heard it here first, people. Get on there, get a following, build this man's account back up. He deserves it. All right, Adam Brooks, thanks so much for your time. Look forward to watching the match at Homecoming.
Thank you for having me, fellas. Hopefully we can chat again soon.
What a lovely guy Alan Brooks is. Just a top, top dude. Really enjoyed that conversation. Thank you so much for his time. It was on a national holiday, indeed. So
yeah, on Australia Day.
Really appreciated him carving out some time for us. Lovely, lovely guy. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Okay, so after the break, we're going to be talking about MCW Homecoming. So if you haven't seen the show yet, why not stop here? You can find it at mcwondemand.com.au. It's a really, really good show, and it's very reasonably priced as well. So why not treat yourself? Go check that out, and we'll see you after the break.
And we're back.
Woo!
MCW Homecoming. Before we kick off, just like to congratulate all our competition winners. We gave out 5 free passes to watch Homecoming for free. And we're going to have more competitions in future, actually. So do follow us on Twitter at WrestlingPod. So that's wrestling without the E. To keep an eye out for future competitions and to take part. But yeah, MCW Homecoming. What can be said beyond what a fun show?
Yeah, definitely. And what an aesthetically pleasing show as well. I mean, you mentioned earlier about how nice the ballroom was, and of course you've got first-hand experience, but I definitely think that came across on the show. It was a really lovely, lovely venue.
I'd almost forgotten just how nice it was. You know, I don't know if it necessarily has changed or it's just my memory being shit. But
your memory is pretty terrible, to be fair.
It looked even nicer than I remember. I think the stage setup, just everything they had going on, just made it really feel very top flight.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It felt like a big promotion. And, you know, by all accounts, it is. So it's befitting. And yeah, I felt like it really did the trick. And just a little note on the production overall, I thought it was very good. You know, I thought the video packages did a good job and they were well put together. And just generally, this came out as a very well-arranged display of pro wrestling.
Actually, they came so close. They were so lucky that this was the weekend just gone, because Melbourne has just gone back into another circuit breaker 5-day lockdown. So right. If it had been this weekend, they'd have been stuffed.
Oh, Christ. Okay, well, look, you know, anybody over in Melbourne right now, thoughts with you guys. Hope it all moves on quickly. Stay safe out there, okay? All right, let's get into the show then, Gareth. What did you think overall?
Yeah, I thought it was real good. You know, the world title match, the 3 stages of hell match, I think thought delivered, you know, and then some. The other match that really stood out for me was the tag team title match. I think the Brat Pack are just absolutely top notch. Mm. The Natural Classics are top notch. You know, they were both on fire. Again, I'd still like to see another match between these two teams, actually. And then the rest of the card was just all very, very fun. But I thought you had 2 real standout matches in the 3 Stages of Hell and the tag team title match. And then just obviously lots of promising people elsewhere on the card.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, somebody that caught my eye and I was very keen to watch anyway, following our conversation with Takesta and Mr. Haku earlier in the series, was Royce Chambers, the airbender, who'd been recruited by Takesta himself to be a part of DDT. And I thought this guy looked incredibly good, you know, almost like a young Puck in the way he moved and controlled his body. And he felt like he was next. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's some big opportunities ahead for him, hopefully in DDT and then perhaps further afield as well.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing sort of more of Royce and even Emma and the Kid, who I thought looked very promising as well. So I did see a bit of Richie Taylor when I was out there. You know, he was just starting to get a bit more prominently featured just as I was leaving Australia. Mm. But I don't recall seeing Emma and the Kid or Royce during my sort of tenure mid-2017 to mid-2018. You know, they're obviously developing the roster all the time there. There are new people coming up through the woodwork. But yeah, I thought this was, you know, good fun match. Didn't outstay its welcome. Very impressive high spots from the sort of 2 high flyers here. And I thought, you know, Richie Taylor looked strong in winning as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, with this kind of match, we've been saying for a while that not spotty matches, but, you know, more work rate, high flying orientated matches are perhaps less easy to pull off with the no fans environment that we're seeing in the US. But, you know, here, and if you haven't watched the show, go watch it quick. But if you haven't watched it yet, you know, this is a full house. You know, Australia is doing really good stuff in terms of how they're handling the pandemic, clearly. And so this is a full house in good voice, a different experience to watching the Japanese crowd that where they're only permitted to clap. So this was, you kind of got a more traditional sense of the audience reaction here. And it was, to be honest, I'd missed it really. So
yeah, absolutely.
It was really nice to see. It was quite warming, to be honest.
I do think watching, you know, Australian crowd, who, you know, who I think are pretty similar to UK crowds, sort of enjoying a show here, it just made me really feel just the gulf between where we are in terms of being able to have shows here still.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's, yeah, we're a million miles off, aren't we, unfortunately? Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I had a real kind of sense of...
A real pang.
Yeah, a real pining for it afterwards. But look, man, this is the second best thing. We get to watch this and then talk to all you wonderful people about it. So it could be far, far worse indeed. Talk to me about the MCW Women's title match. I hadn't seen Avery or Skylar Cruz before. Are these two women that you're familiar with?
Avery, I am. Yeah, so when I was living out there, she was primarily serving just as like a valet manager to the Rat Pack.
Interesting.
Sort of, she wasn't really wrestling very often. You know, there wasn't heaps of women's wrestling on the MCW cards when I was out there. You know, here and there, like Indy Hartwell was, you know, really making a name for herself. And even at that time, you know, like I remember going to shows and seeing Indy and just being like, she's WWE bound like any day now, basically. Mm. You know, like I think as soon as get sight of her, they're gonna whip her off to Florida. But yeah, so Avery has really come out of not come out of a show. Avery's really kind of kicked things up a notch since I left, it seems. You know, I've kind of been following her via social media and stuff. Like, she's a lot of fun, nicknamed the Bin Chicken.
What does that mean?
So there's Australian like birds that are nuisances that get into bins that they call bin chickens.
Fantastic.
And so yeah, so I think she's really kicked it up a notch and like has really really brought it. And she was actually due to come on a UK tour, but I think she broke her arm. She's suffered an injury and had to call off a UK tour.
Oh no.
Probably 2 years ago now. Like, she was due to come out here. Like, I think it was like days before she was due to fly out and she got injured, which was a real shame. So I do hope, you know, she gets to come out here for too long. But I believe Skylar Cruz is brand spanking new. I think she's just fresh out of the MCW Academy.
Yeah, they're doing good work down there, seemingly. So very exciting indeed. Okay, let's talk about this main event. You've probably already heard about it, folks, because the likes of Voices of Wrestling and other established outlets are already hailing this as a very fine match indeed. Three stages of how we had traditional rules, falls count anywhere, and it did in fact go to a third fall, which was a ladder match. G-Money, talk me through this one. What did you think?
Yeah, great. Interesting that I think this one went about 50 minutes, which, you know, when the show was 2.5 hours start to finish, so it's almost more than a third of the show was just this one match.
Can you imagine not having wrestled for a year and this is the first match back? Like, those boys must have been sore after this.
Even just at the end of the match, like all around Brooksy's like collarbone and stuff, like you could see how like sore he looked. And there was once they brought the ladder out in the Falls Count Anywhere match, one of the ladders got like absolutely mangled, like the side, and there was just this really like sharp twisted bit of metal sticking off, and like I was just like wincing anytime they went near it. But yeah, they absolutely kicked the crap out of each other here.
Yeah, these are two guys that, well, they are destined for a bigger stage because they're signed to Ring of Honor, and I think quite deservedly so. They feel like the big stars of the scene, and I was very very impressed throughout. I love Adam Brooks's kind of, he's got quite a unique charisma to him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's sort of, it's not that traditional beat your chest baby face. There's almost quite a nuanced, sarcastic kind of
side to him. Yeah, like self-assured.
Yeah, I was really into it. I thought he came across really well. And then Slex is the business, no doubt about that. He really impressed me as well. So look, I don't know when these guys are going to be able to get out to the States. I'm sure they're keen to do it as soon as possible, but it's very, very cool to see them doing big things here, and you can tell that it's just a matter of time.
And I just thought they both did really fun and interesting things with the gimmicks, with the stipulations. You know, unfortunately, again, due to kind of the pandemic still being a thing, you know, they maybe weren't able to go as quite as crazy with like the Falls Count Anywhere stuff. I'd love to see them in the crowd and out, you know, like, because the Thornbury Theatre is such an interesting building, because the area that the matches take place is actually on the first floor. So there's a downstairs area. You know, there's like a real big ornate like staircase area that they could have fought down, and out into the high street maybe. You know, like there's just so many kind of cool things that they maybe could have done. But I think even given the limitations, they really knocked it out of the park here.
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember Brooksy said in the interview that he'd had his eye on a few areas of the ballroom for a while. It'd be interesting to pick his brains again and just see how much of that he managed to tick off. But
definitely. So to finish the Fool's Count Anywhere match, Brooks hit a massive swanton off a ladder on the floor onto a waiting Slex on a table and just absolutely clobbered him.
Yeah, looked crazy. Looked absolutely bananas.
So, yeah, I just thought that was visually so impressive. Like, the kind of gigantic high spot you don't tend to see so much outside of the kind of big American promotions.
Yeah.
So, you know, that in itself is something to remark about, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And I reiterate, this is their first match back, and they thought, we're just going to do all this stuff. We're just going to lose it. Oh, yeah. Man. Honestly, my heart goes out to them for the following day. I bet that was rough.
And I thought the sort of the ladder match, they did some really innovative and fun stuff with the ladders, and I like that they kind of almost left the door open despite this supposed to be kind of closing the door on this kind of feud. I still think they left it open just a crack by having Brooks wasn't standing on top of the ladder with a fallen Slex triumphant. You know, Slex was still clawing and fighting and there with him when Brooks was able to recover the title. So
yeah,
there's definitely room for something down the line, but yeah, I'm just really excited now for Brooks to hopefully have the title reign he's so, you know, so rightfully deserves, you know, to kind of have these kick-ass matches month in, month out.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what as well, it's a good thing for Ring of Honor in a way, because they've got these two guys and they've already made this huge amount of noise with this match. And you know, hopefully if MCW's able to safely operate in the coming weeks and months, they can continue to do so. And then their stock only rises prior to them being able to return to ROH.
I'll tell you what I would be really interested in, I think would be fascinating, is if Ring of Honor could come to terms with MCW to show this match.
Yeah, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. That would make a lot of sense, yeah. They really should do that.
It puts over these two stars that are signed to their promotion, how good they are. It would be beneficial for MCW, gets new eyes on them perhaps. So, you know, hopefully we can see that.
Yep. Okay, good stuff. So there we go. MCW is back. Homecoming is in the books. Australian wrestling is back. And this has been our Australian special. Just before we go, a little bit of news. So Slex, as we mentioned, he was signed with Ring of Honor. He's actually re-signed, new deal re-up that was reported last night. So very exciting there. And some fantastic news coming today, as Gareth alluded to earlier. Mark Davis, one half of Aussie Open, reporting that his knee injury is officially in the rearview mirror. Aussie Open are also back. So just a general joyous day for Australian pro wrestling right here on the Wrestling Podcast. Okay, folks, so if you are following us on Twitter at Wrestling Pod, that's Wrestling Without the E, then you will have seen that there is a bonus episode coming your way tomorrow. Yes, of course. Now, we did suggest that there was going to be a bonus episode a few weeks ago, but we took the decision to move this to now. Why? Because we've made it even bigger. This is crazy stuff. We're going to be talking to our good friend Balinaki, who's going to be helping us with translation as well as contributing also. But we're speaking with Mace Aruga and Emi Sakura. Yes, Emi fucking Sakura. of Gatomu Choco Pro, and then more recently, the Japanese half of the bracket for the AEW Women's Eliminator Tournament. So we're super excited about that one. It's a really, really fun conversation. I was walking around with a smile on my face for the rest of the day afterwards. It just put me on cloud nine. This was a good one, wasn't it, G?
Yeah, I don't know how we keep conning all of these incredible stars to speak to us.
I know.
Like, you know, I'm not gonna stop it, but it's a little bit of a head scratcher every time. I'm like, Jesus, how did I just get to talk to Emmy? Or like, how did I just get to talk to Kester? Or how did we just talk to Maki Ito? Like, yeah. It's bonkers every time, isn't it?
And we should point out as well, actually, that the Wrestling Podcast curse, which we did think was a thing with Takesta and Ito-chan both losing their matches after speaking to us, appears to be officially not an issue anymore. I think PCO lost his match as well, actually.
He did, yeah.
You know, Brooksy's come through for us. So,
come through clutch.
That's
good work,
it.
Brooksy.
You've done it, mate. Yeah, good stuff. So we're good to go there.
Well, and then we've had the first, recently we had the very first clash of previous guests taking on one another, with Takesta taking on Balianaki at the Chris Brooks produced show for DDT.
Oh gosh, yeah, yeah. I could barely handle that one, to be honest with you.
Like, we didn't know who to root for in that one.
No, that was a toughie, but amazing stuff. So yeah, of course there can only be one overall winner, but first round matches for this AEW tournament kick off on Monday, which is very exciting. So best of luck to May and to Emmy. But yeah, do check us out. So that one's going to be dropping on Saturday. It's a really, really fun and interesting, insightful conversation with Emi Sakura, the foremost mind of Japanese women's wrestling. I think very much a sort of Mount Rushmore level contributor to that space. And of course, May, who's possibly the most exciting upcoming wrestler coming out of 2020. Maybe, arguably.
You could definitely make that argument, couldn't you? You know,
yeah.
We put her on our list as well of people that brought us the most joy in 2020.
Yeah. And then you also get the ace of Choco Pro, Balianaki, on translation duties as well. So what more could you ask for? So that one's dropping on Saturday. In the meantime, next week, we're going to be covering DDT's Kawasaki Strong Show, which looks absolutely bonkers as well. And we have an interview with Yappy from Ice Ribbon. Yes, we are exploring another new promotion, Ice Ribbon, the Joshi promotion in Japan. So really excited about
which
that one.
Which Emi Sakura founded.
Indeed. Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to watch what we're watching, you can watch Kawasaki Strong on Wrestle Universe. That's going to be 5 a.m.
It's an early start.
UK time on Sunday the 14th. That'll be, yeah, Wrestle Universe. Do check that out. Wrestle Universe is such good value. You know, this month alone, you've had the Chris Brooks produced show. You've had big Tokyo Yoshi Pro show. You've had a big Noah show. And you've now got Kawasaki Strong coming up, among other things as well. It's incredible value. So do check that out. In the meantime, you can keep up with G and myself on Twitter and Instagram. That's at WrestlingPod, wrestling about the E. You can go to wrestlingpod.com for all the links that you need for the podcast. Why not check out itrwrestling.com for your news and views in the meantime. And also check out InsideTheRopesMagazine.com for a glossy, wonderful smelling print-based version of your wrestling digest. And finally, if you're looking to rock some wrestling podcast merch, I'm doing so as we speak, although you can't see it. You can head over to shop.itrwrestling.com. We got mugs, we got shirts, a really cool shirt actually, and hoodies, all sorts. So do check us out over there. And I think that pretty much does us for this week. So from me and G, just happy Australia special, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. Stay happy, stay safe, and enjoy the grabs.